Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back and have an opportunity to share with you God's Word. I'm going to continue to go on the series that I was on as far as God's to-do list. And this is my third time as far as this series, and just wanted to highlight this week and next week as well. And today I'm going to entitle this list, but we'll call it the Super List. Kind of Super Bowl Sunday. Here we go. All right. So it's a great day for everybody that's into football, and I see the Patriots fans over here. So how many are for Patriots? Raise your hand. How many Falcons? How many just don't care? Okay. Or best way to put that, not just don't care. How many are for commercials? Yeah. Okay, that's great. You know, we want to be able to dive into what's going on. But, you know, before we pursue that, I want to just start with this whole concept of the craziness what's going on in our U.S. and in our country today as far as the chaos and just the different things that are going on. Not necessarily wanting to talk in reference to any political view, but more so just the idea of what does the Bible have to say about what's going on? Where is God in this whole thing? I believe that the message today, and this is what we're going to call it, and I think it's perfect timing as far as God's super list, it just embodies the whole message of what it is that God wants to see in all of us. You see, with God, it's a spirit of unity. It's ability to work together. It's the ability to see how we can do what we can for each other and to serve each other the best that we can. Now, many of you are aware that I work with families within our community. For the last 17 years, I've been targeting our entire ministry, focusing on refugees. We still are serving refugees. And so refugees, immigrants, those that are just in our American poor or those that are in need, families of whoever. It doesn't mean that's all we work with. I mean, believe me, I get phone calls from people that are from well-to-do families, but their child is rebellious or an issue is going on or something happened over here. I think we've counted this from September or late August until the end of the year. We did about 30-some school assemblies. I do public school assemblies. And now I've got about another 30 more before it goes on. Just did two this last week. And it's been busy. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of issues going on, especially even with our kids. But I would like you to just, you know, keep this in prayer with me. I was in a meeting where I was asked to come and write some curriculum and be a part of a team that we're going to be able to now go and address teachers. Because they're seeing a lot of the stuff in reference to bullying even, that sometimes we've talked about the idea that by example. So if you got a lot of bullying going on inside your schools, that principals started taking a good look around and kind of saw some of the issues that some of the teachers were, how they were gossiping against about each other, hating each other. Some don't like this. Some just feel like they're more in a position of seniority, and they have rights, and they have, and it just cause of a division. Well, when you vent that, even not realizing you vent that in front of your students catch that division. And so now it's going to be something that be able to go in and speak to teachers and to speak with them and bringing them workshops and bringing them ability. What am I going to be sharing with them? Basically what I share with you guys, that about unity, about working together, about considering the other person, about serving. Now, I can't preach to them. I can't even use reference to the Bible whatsoever. But taking the message of God and applying that principle is what we're shooting for. So I ask you to help me on that. But it is pretty tough right now what's going on. Just a lot of issues, and everyone's got their views, and everyone's got their reason. But as we dive into God's Word, I wanted us to look at, okay, Lord, where are you at? What is this unity that you keep wanting us to fight for? Now, listen to this. To unify with somebody, it's the ability to unify without compromise. It's really even the ability to say, how can I be a leader amongst a perverse generation, a generation that doesn't want anything to do with you, God? How can I be a leader among you? When I first started 17 years ago, a pastor in the area of Glendale, he came and he said, look, You need to pray the Daniel prayer. And again, I think I've shared this with you, and I said, well, Daniel prayer, I know there's the Lord's Prayer, and there's the Jabez Prayer, and there's all kinds of prayers. David prayed. Well, what's the Daniel Prayer? And he goes, no, there's not the idea of there's a particular prayer, other than the Bible talks about that he prayed morning, noon, and evening, and so on. No, the idea is here, he's saying, you need to pray like Daniel, to the place that you can be a leader in the world that you're in. He was a leader in three pagan communities and yet never compromised. How do you do that? How do you become a leader in a setting and in a world, at your business, at your work, in your community, and they know who you are, but yet you don't compromise, and yet they still want to work with you. They still want to be a part. And so I said that prayer, and God helped. And you see, in that ability, when God is for you, who could be against you? God will work with you when your heart and your mind is to unify and to work together with those and to serve those. Yes, even those that don't like anything or want nothing to do with God. They don't like anything to hear about God, but they'll listen to you because they see that you care. You've earned the right to be heard. This super list is something else. It's a list everyone has heard one time or another. Let's go back to the first couple lists, and then we'll dive into this. The first list, I said, this list was the main list. This is the list that God wants you, first of all, to focus on. And that's the list that's talked about the book of life. That your name is written in that book where you get saved. And that list is the most important list out of all. That none would perish, that God so loved the world, that he cares about each one of us. And that was some weeks ago, and I spoke to you then about the 12 days of Christmas and how important it was, that song, the 12 days of Christmas, how they wrote that song for the purpose and intent to share the gospel. It wasn't just a song with crazy sayings in it, and why would ladies be, you know, dancing and lords a-leaping, and what does all that mean? But I shared with you then what that meant. And then I said, that's the main list with your relationship with God, is to get on that list. Second week, we talked about the idea, the list that God wants you to prepare yourself to stay away from, Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. That list of the armor of God wasn't really meant for you, as it is the armor for you, but it wasn't just for you to walk around with armor. It was for a reason. To resist the enemy, to fight against the ways of the enemy. You're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. So when we put on the armor of God every day, we're putting on the presence of God, knowing and understanding, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, that God is for me. For what reason? To defeat the ways of the enemy. First list, relationship with him. Second list, not to have a relationship with the enemy. Well, today is, how do we have a relationship with each other? What I'm referring to, our super list. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, is where we're going to go to. And this verse is one that I believe, like I said, most have heard about, most have listened to. Let me read it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let's go back to that list again. Verse 11. So he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, those are five, what we would say, positions. But why is that a super list? Because it says that he equipped each one of us to carry one of those positions. I want to take you to give you a little better understanding. If you would go with me to the book of Luke, and we're going to talk here in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. Here is the story of the prodigal son. That son that wanted his inheritance early, and he received it. His father gave it to him, and he went out and spoiled it. When he lost everything, with the shame of that, he did not want to go back home. So he ends up finding himself a job, the only job that was available, and he was out there in the pigs. He was feeding the pigs. And he comes to this place at verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?" And the, you know, most of you know the story. If you know the story, that he then realizes that, hey, even the servants of my father's house have it a lot better than what I'm dealing with. I'll go and ask for a job. At least I'll be better off because I know my dad takes care of his servants. But I don't want to talk about that, because not that story. I want to focus on the key thing here. He says, when he came to his senses. When he came to his senses. How many senses do we have? Five. We have five senses. I know there was a movie, and a lot of people still believe they have a sixth sense. I see dead people. You know, they have that ability. But the five senses, right? The ability to see, the ability to smell, the ability to what? Taste, to touch, and to hear. It says when all of those senses, it didn't say when he came to do that one sense. When you come to the senses and all the senses are working together, you see, how many people do you know are at this place where they see what's going on, but they're not listening? Okay, or how about they're listening, but they don't want to get involved. They don't want to touch. They hear their call for the need, but they don't engage. Here, he said, all senses, when they finally clicked, all senses worked together, it made sense to him. But see, when you say, oh, that makes sense, that means all senses are working together. All of them have connected. When it doesn't make sense, that means you're just going all over and some aren't even being used and it just doesn't work. But when all senses are able to work together, you come to that place where you realize, hey, I got to make a decision. And here, all senses are working together. When all senses started working together, I mean, think about it. When all senses worked, it's like his eyes were open and he really looked around and saw what he was in. He had touched what he was in. He was feeding the pigs. Think about that. He was feeding the pigs. He heard the pigs. He saw them. He smelled them. And the Bible says he even tasted the food. It's like, okay, this is pretty bad. But when all of them clicked, a decision was made. I want you to think now, going back to what we talked about here in Ephesians 4:11. These five positions, what I call the super list, when all of them start clicking together, big things start happening. When each of us understand our position in God and our place in God, that we all have a part. Every one of us has a part in the body of Christ. We'll read in just a moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole chapter is dedicated to the gifts that God has for each one of us. But let's try to combine those together. It says, he gave apostles. Apostles. Apostle and the senses. I'm going to attribute this. I'm going to connect these two together. You see, the job of the apostle is to be the first responder, to be the one that's going out there. You see an apostle, that apostle is one who got the machete in his hand. There are many that will refer to, well, an apostle, today's term, will be like a missionary. The person who's going out there with the machete, going out there and with the sledgehammer and breaking the hard ground and getting that pick out there to toil it up, then somebody else will come and be able to go. So let's match up the apostle with touch. They're the first. They're the ones that are out there that are doing it. There's no trail. They blaze the trail. They're the ones that are doing it. The apostle Paul went all over spreading the good news. He was the first to touch a new land, the first to be. Let's go to this one. The prophet. The prophet. What would be the prophet? As I started looking at this, I started realizing, you know, the prophet in this, let's compare, the prophet would be taste. You might think, well, the prophet is one which should be the speaking part. Not necessarily. But if you compare it to the senses, the prophet would be taste. You see, it's the prophet's responsibility to be in communion with God at all times. It's that prophet's job to be in tune with God so that he hears from God at all times, to commune, to taste the Lord, to see that he's good, that he would know exactly. Now, the concept of tasting the Lord, the idea of taste, you know when you taste something if it's good or bad. That prophet is to know exactly when something is right of God and something it's not. It's the idea of knowing, again, we've talked about this, knowing counterfeit money to false money if you're in banking. If you're in banking, you don't train on touching counterfeit money. You only know the truth. You know the truth so that when a counterfeit bill comes, you touch that, you're like, okay, this was not real. Can you imagine a stack of bills and there's a Monopoly dollar in there? And you're going, you could say, okay, not just by physically looking at it, but you could feel it. This is not real. A prophet's job is to be 24/7 in tune with God and to know. And what do we do more than anything we do but eat? I mean, think about Jesus. One of the last acts he did with his apostles before he died on the cross was what? Very famous Last Supper. But then when he resurrects from the dead, the Bible says he what? Had breakfast. I mean, he communed with these guys. That prophet, his taste. Evangelist. I want you to think about this. You might say, well, that's an easy one. That should be the ability to what? The ability to speak. I want you to think about this as far as in reference to senses. Now, speaking, the evangelist will speak. You might say, well, that should have been taste then. No, not necessarily. An evangelist is someone, when they walk into a setting, there's a song that we sang up here. It says, when you walk in, changes the atmosphere. An evangelist, his priority is the ability, listen to this, is the ability to know what's the main thing that God cares about, but salvation. What's the main job of the evangelist is salvation. The ability to walk into a setting, to walk into a setting and be able to sense it, to smell it, what's going on. You know, sometimes we don't even have to be in that room and we could already smell before we go in there what's going on. Think about it. Let's say someone's cooking with some major spices. You hadn't even walked into the house yet and you could be already on the front and you're like right there and you just know. The ability to discern. An evangelist. I mean, when you're preaching the message of God, you got a message of salvation, you better believe the enemy is going to try to do whatever he can to counter and to come against and to fight against you because you're bringing salvation, the main thing God cares about. You're an evangelist. You're coming in with the mindset to do whatever you can to reach the people. You have to have discernment. You got to be able to smell it before you even get to it. You got to be able to discern when you go into a setting. I remember when in my life when the man that led us to the Lord, and he stood on my sidewalk and he looked at our house, and I told him all that was going on, and he just looked at our house. He hadn't even walked in. He was on the sidewalk, and he looked at our house, and he said, there's a lot of evil there. You see, this man was an evangelist. He was in my neighborhood, and he could smell it out. Think about that. Can you smell it? Can you smell when something's not right? Can you discern the ability to know when something's not right? You see, when all senses start working together, when everything starts working together, it flows. Can you imagine the ability that you and I have that if we would work together with those around us and we all used what God gave us, we would be able to do that? You have a gift that I don't, maybe. You have a leading that I don't. But if I work with you, and I work with you, and I work with you, and all of us start working together, applying the gifts that God has given us, and we start working together, and we start using what God has given us, I can guarantee you, you'll see this super list. You'll see this thing start taking off. Why? Because the senses are all clicking. All clicking. I want you to think about a teacher. You might say, well, the teacher should be one that's speaking. The teacher should be the one of the voice. No, the main job of the teacher, listen to this. You might think me wrong. But I believe the main job of the teacher is not to teach, but to listen. What do you mean? You see, I could be one of a teacher that teaches away, and I don't even care if you got it or not. I did my job. I taught you, and I walk away. Well, how do you know if they learned? Hey, that's not my job. That was up to them if they chose to learn. I do lean on this conviction that there's no such thing as a bad student, just a bad teacher. Because if you walk away high-fiving yourself and you think that, hey, I did my job, but everyone's still left in a daze like, what was that? I got no idea what that was about. What's the main job, I believe, of a teacher? Is to listen. To listen to what? To listen to you repeat what you just got taught. Do you get it? Do you understand what's going on? Yeah, okay, I'm repeating this. Again, I'm just comparing to senses here. That's all I'm doing. The pastor? What would you figure as far as the pastor? See, a lot of people have a belief that the leader of the church, the pastor of the church, is someone that obviously is among the sheep. He's a shepherd. And that he walks among them and he has his staff and he's kind of shooing them along and going from there. But I'll tell you one thing. That pastor has to be one that's ahead. He has to be one that's ahead. He has to see where he's going. He has to be able to see what's happening. You see, when a shepherd, a good shepherd, and you read that in John 10, in John chapter 10, that a good shepherd, he is the one that literally he'll walk in front of the sheep because he sees where he's going, and he goes and he looks around for snakes, and he goes around and he looks around for shrubs that could be poisonous, and he wants to make sure he puts them in a green pasture, not one that has poisonous leaves or anything that the sheep, because the sheep are dumb, they'll eat whatever. But if all five senses start working together, you've got your touch, you've got your taste, you got your ability to see, your ability to hear, you got everything all flowing, everything works. Why am I even sharing all this? Maybe in the time that we're living in today, more so is it crying out for unity more so than division. My friends, if we as a body of Christ here start flowing and working together, utilizing what God has given each one of us, we start working together. Well, what is your job? Let me read the four again so you clearly understand it. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 9. Verse 10. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What is the main purpose for all of this to work together? To build up until we reach unity. Unity. You might say, well, Alfred, we're all great friends here. We're all unified. We all come to church here. We like church here. We love the way church is done here. So we're all unified already. True. But I believe that it goes beyond the four walls of this room. The ability that when we work in a unity mindset, when all of the positions that I just read here, that he gave apostles, he gave pastors, he gave teachers, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists. Every single one of these positions are one that we all should start seeking. God, what is it for me? Where am I supposed to be? A lot of people have said, well, Alfred, because you're a missionary, you're an apostle. I personally will never call myself an apostle. That to me is just a title of high esteem because I'm always in the new neighborhoods and reaching the kids and doing all that. But I'll tell you one thing straight out. It is a humbling thing when you understand the role that you play. Well, what is it? What could I play? What could I do? Where is my part in this? This super list is powerful. Maybe the idea of intercessory, that prophet, that person who stands and hears the call of God and is able to go and share that among other people. That you're so close with God that people know they can come to you for prayer. Well, maybe you're that evangelist that everyone knows, oh man, hey, I got a friend who needs to hear about salvation. I'm going to call this brother from the church or this sister because I know they know the Romans road of salvation. They know how to share John 3:16. They know what to do. I'm going to talk to them. Maybe you are that teacher, that discipler. Because how many times have we been guilty of getting all these people, let's say, saved, but they're never discipled. They're never groomed. They're never at that place where they've learned to take it deeper with God. We all have a part to play in this. This is something. I know I could see it in your eyes. You guys are glazed over because, like, you're not a good teacher. I'm still glazed. I don't get it. If anything, maybe you can get the idea of this. You have a part in this. Whether the Bible in 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll read it, talks about it's like a body. Some parts are meant to be seen and other parts are not meant to be seen. Some are up on the stage and others are behind the scenes. But nonetheless, when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. As we heard of our prayer request in our dear young family here that lost a little one. When one hurts, we all hurt. That's why it's so important, and I love how we take the moment to pray for each other in this. It's awesome. It's so awesome that we do this. Okay. Each one of us has a part to play. Each one of us are responsible to make sure we understand what that part is. And you might be at that place and say, I don't know what my part is. I'm new in God. I love God. I love what He did for me. But where am I going? What am I supposed to do? This is where now it's a call on you to say, Lord, I want to be a part of unifying the body. What's the main purpose of all this? To unify. What's the main purpose of even government but to unify? My job is not to criticize our leaders. The Bible says my job is to pray for our leaders. To think that I have a right to cause chaos? That I have a right to come and divide? No, that's not my job. My job is to pray. My job is to intercede. My job is to stand in the gap. My job is to see what could I do to unify. There was somebody that if you go on Facebook and you're on my Facebook, I like to share a lot of things from a lot of people. And there was a girl that posted something. And she says, if you want to come against the executive order, she goes, do this. Go to the refugee association and go help somebody. So I shared that. Now, I'm not about the idea of being against the executive order, but I love the thought that she was saying. And look, if you want to do something, you're against what he's saying, our president, then go help someone. Go to the refugees and go, you know, but I've been walking through the neighborhood. You can go downtown. You see a lot of people. You'll see them with signs and that. But are they in the neighborhood? No. Are they actually helping refugees or families? No. Who's the one that's causing division and chaos? It's not God. It's not the ways of God. But it's clearly divisive from the enemy. Oh, man, did you just call a certain group of people the enemy? The child of the enemy? No, the Bible says you'll know them by your fruit. You'll know them by the fruit. Oh, well, does that mean we don't have the right to protest? No, as Americans, we do have the right to protest, but not to riot. By burning a car and breaking in buildings and robbing and looting, what does that have to do with you having a voice? Absolutely nothing. So what can I do? Because right now people are asking, well, what do we do about it? Unify. Find your role in God and let's work together. What part can you play? What can you do? I love it that there's a list. Because if it was just one thing, I'm like, I can't do that. If it was like, we all have to sing. There's only a few people qualify. The rest of us like, I guess we're out. Because I don't sing. Well, I do, but you wouldn't like it. I love that there's a list. You know, but that's just what I call the super list. And it just goes on even greater from there. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm hoping you guys are grabbing this. Some of you. One of you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let me read. Actually, I'm going to read from the Message version. I got the NIV as far as my Bible here, but I want to read to you in the Message version. A little easier to understand, just the way I love the way it flows. It says, "What I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked in our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. Remember how you were when you didn't know God, led from a phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it. It's different in this life. God wants us to use our intelligence to seek to understand as well as we can. For instance, by using your heads, you know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, 'Jesus be damned,' nor would anyone be inclined to say, 'Jesus is Master,' without the insight of the Holy Spirit. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person," everybody please repeat after me, say, "each person." Okay, beyond five of you. Everybody. "Each person." Yeah, I think I gained one more. Okay, so here we go. "Each person is given," I wanted you to grab that. "Each person is given something to do that shows God, to show who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful." And it just goes on, a huge another wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing sick, miraculous acts, proclamation. It goes on and on. I want you to think about this. You and I have a part in this. We want to see what's being changed out in the community. It starts right here in the unity with the body. What does that mean? That we all play our part. What does that mean for you? What do I need to do in order to find my role? It's a matter of you talking to God. God so quickly wants to give you and show you exactly what is the gift that you have. And again, it's not the gift of saying singing or preaching or anything in that manner. It's the ability to know and understand, God, what can I do for you? How can I work together? Because a lot of times throughout the history of the church, we've always said, well, it's playing the piano, or it's singing, or it's always things that are done up here. And that's not the case whatsoever. The ability to understand that my role is important, whether I'm being seen or not being seen. As a matter of fact, any production ever done, all you get is a simple thank you from the athlete or the celebrity. Who do they thank? Their producers. Because if that producer who's behind the scene doesn't pull this off, the producer's not on stage. The producer's not the one that's making this happen. The producer, not the one expressing what's happening, but they put it all together. There's so much that takes place in anything. At your work, you got your employees. You got the employees. You got the people that are out there. But if that person behind the desk trying to pull it all together, if it doesn't work, what if that producer doesn't work? It's not going to happen. And that's behind the scene. There's so much that goes on, even as far as the ministry of God, that's behind the scene. But it's so important. Where do you feel you fit? Where is your role? Everyone has that opportunity. Every one of us has the ability to go on from here. So am I an apostle? Am I a teacher? I'm not referring to being a teacher in a school. I'm talking about just the ability to teach what you've learned, you'll be able to give it back out. Am I a prophet? Am I a pastor? Do you care about people like a pastor would? You see, each one of us can carry that in us without having the title of being the pastor of the church. You have the pastor's heart. You care about your community. You care about your neighbor. You care about your family members. You care about those. You're protecting people. You can go out and adopt a family that needs help and be the pastor to them and help them. We got to get away from these high titles and say to everyday practical life, I could do this. But which one are you? Are you the evangelist? Because, man, Jesus has changed your life so much, you're willing to share. You know, for all of you guys that are involved in the ministry behind us here, you guys, to me, I'll just tell you straight out, you're evangelists. You might say, no, I'm an athletic trainer. You know, you're an evangelist. Because you're right there, and you might say, well, I don't really actually preach the gospel to them. But you've allowed a room to be filled with scripture. You've opened a setting for people to come in and get introduced to the things of God. It's a powerful thing. See, what I'm trying to say, these big titles like, oh, I can't be the pastor. Oh, I can never be a teacher. You are already. It's just work and act in what God has given you. Now, here's the thing. If we all work together and we came to our senses, some powerful things could happen. Some major things could take place. But we got to get to that place. I'll close. I've gone way beyond. I know a lot of you are like, amen, brother. All right. Let me go on. I'm going to go all the way to verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then close this at the end. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues and all. And the question is, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And it ends this way, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. So here I'm just calling this the super list, and the Lord is saying here, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and saying, here's this list that must be worked, but I'm even going to show you a greater list. I'm going to show you a greater way. A greater way how to apply. Maybe come next week, this will make sense to you, because we're going to talk about that greater list. He goes, and then I will show you a greater way. I'm going to show you a greater list. Sometimes things don't make sense until you get the second piece of the puzzle. Come next week and let's talk about what does that really mean. Do we do what we do for the sake of a title? Do we do what we do for the sake of getting it acknowledged? What's our cause? What's our purpose? Why do we do what we do? Next week, we will help answer that. We'll talk about that. So today, where are we left? We've got a super list. God, help us to find out where I belong. In other words, let me put it this way. You've all made it to the Super Bowl. It's just a matter of you playing it now. And so I'm going to ask the team to go ahead and come up, worship team to come up. So maybe during our time of this song, we could all ask God, Lord, what's my part? For the Patriots to win another Super Bowl, everything's got to be functioning right. Right? I mean, think about it. Same with the Falcons. If they're ever going to win a Super Bowl, they got to make sure everything is working right. If they work together, there will be that victor. And really, that's what it comes down to. When you get down to the last two big teams like this, it's like, who's more unified? Who's working together more? They both qualify to be in this position. Think about it for us here. Where are we at? If we unify, powerful victory awaits us. Let's stand right now.